meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So on the screen behind me, in a moment, we have two verses, verses 19 and verses 22. Verses 19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." And then verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And we'll talk about those two in just a moment. We need to remind ourselves that as we work through this letter of James, it is exactly that, one continuous flowing letter. As we study it, we have it broken up by chapter and verse, and as I'm preaching it, and as the word is typically exposited, it would be broken down in even smaller portions. And as it is for me, and as we study through James, we will often be multiple weeks between our preachings. So I say all of this simply to note that the importance of context when you are reading and studying God's Word. We have to see the flow of this all the way through. You may not remember what we looked at, but it's all one continuous thought, if you will, from Brother James writing to his beloved brethren. For me, I see the two verses, verses 19 and 22, as the two cornerstones of James's letter. The first 18 verses leading up to verse 19, and then the rest of James's letter continually coming back to verse 22. And I think you'll see that as we work our way through. Next week, we'll be looking at verses 22 through 27. Verse 19, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." This is the ultimate memory verse. Put it on your refrigerators, print it on a plaque and hang it on the wall at home, put it in a small frame and set it on your desk at the office, and if it were possible, Andrew, you'll have to tell me if it is, if it was possible, have this pop up as a banner on your computer or phone each time you open to or go to any form of social media. The word quick in the KJV is swift. It means to be prompt, to be ready, to hear, to give audience, to have it come to the ears, to listen, and to understand. In summation, you make yourself an audience of one to the speaker. You listen intently with the desire to understand. So you're able to know that you have heard them, and you know what they have intended for you to hear. Note, understanding what someone says and agreeing with what someone says may well be two different things, but you must hear them. Slow comes from a root word meaning to delay, to tarry, to be slack. Also comes from a word that means to navigate, a term meaning to sail or to maneuver slowly. And to speak, to talk, to say, to tell, to utter words. The summation is, before responding to what you have heard, you need to tarry. There needs to be a delay. You need to hit that mental pause button. You need to maneuver slowly and carefully as you choose your words. Slow to anger, same word for slow. Anger in the KJV is wrath, abhorrence, indignation, punishment, and vengeance. Root word also meaning to provoke, enrage, and to be exasperated. You know, the summation of this is, well, you know what anger is, you know what it looks like, and you know what it sounds like. Tell me if this sounds familiar. You're having a conversation with somebody, be it spoken or written, and it may or may not be someone you typically agree with, or flat out know that you most likely will not agree with at all. The conversation starts and you hear a certain phrase, a certain few words grouped together, linked together. You then perceive or pick up on a particular tone or attitude of the conversation, at least according to your insight and experience. And based on your experience, you know where this conversation is headed. It's not going to make it to your I'm in agreement chart. It's probably going to make it into the file 13. And that's okay. What isn't okay is that you stop being quick to listen, to hear. You may think you know where the conversation is going, but you are no longer quick to hear because you are already working in your mind your response. You're not in agreement and you can't wait to shout it out. Not going to be slow to speak. You're waiting for your opportunity. In fact, you're in so much disagreement, it's beginning to anger you. As the conversation continues, your disagreement builds, your anger builds to being enraged. Now you know that they have pushed your provoking buttons. You will not be slow to anger because you need to respond and you need to verbally get your pound of flesh. There are far too many conversations, far too many social media posts that look or sound like what was just described in one form or another. Well, this is not a commentary on not being in disagreement or debating an issue, of answering something that is false with that which is truth. James gives us a formula, if you will, so that how we respond at all times conveys or shows forth the righteousness of Christ. To be quick to listen, to be slow to speak, and to be slow to wrath. At the very least, these are the beginnings of God-honoring conversation. So yes, it's a good verse to memorize. Hang it on your refrigerator, put it on the wall, set it on your desk, and most importantly, remember it and consider it before hitting the send button on social media. I think that might be one of our biggest problems. It's hit and it's maybe not. Well, you can break the finger off, but you can't get it back. you've already pushed it. As James is dealing with and writing to the brethren whose relationships are not right with God, if we did a speed review of verses 2 through 18, which we'll look at later in this message, we would see just how far off their relationship is with God and His Word. Bringing us back to verse 19, know this in the King James, wherefore, if verse 18 is true, that we are brought forth by the word of truth, and we hold to that truth, then what follows must be true also. Not only true, but necessary. Listen to the command. Let every person, all the brethren, every believer, be quick to hear. To hear what? What was lacking? What was the root of their struggles? Their stress, their disappointment, depression, and even their sinfulness towards God. They were not listening to God's word. Now, we know that they have no canonized version of the New Testament, but they have the men and the teachers that God was inspiring, that God was using to directly give and teach them His Word. The Word that one day would be canonized, no matter the form that they received it, it was there for them to receive. And they were not listening to or being obedient to God's Word. Quick to listen, Proverbs 16:20. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts the Lord. Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Proverbs 10:17. Whoever heeds instruction, God's word, is on the path to life. Proverbs 4:20 and 21, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Isaiah 28:23, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. In Romans 8:33, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Our ears have been open. The word says we have ears to hear. And what are we to listen for? And what are we to hear if it is not God's word? By the word of the truth, He brought us forth. Verse 21 speaks of receiving the implanted word, also God's word of truth. Matthew 13:16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. The true believer's heart is made to be receptive to God's word. We are to be attentive to His word, to hear His word in all of its forms, to search out His word like one looking for gold, to desire His word, to treasure His word, and to obey His word. But first, and at all times, we must be quick to listen to His word. We are to be slow to speak. This is a call for restraint. Do not be hasty in your action or reaction to the listening, to the hearing of God's word. Listen quickly intently, but do not be quick in your response. Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let the words be few. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The brethren were being hasty with their speaking, with their reactions, with their action towards God. They were not happy in their trials. They were not remaining steadfast. They were not seeking wisdom. They were having doubts in many things that God was doing in their life. Sovereignly, He's doing a work. He's bringing these trials in, and they're questioning His very motive. Their faith was suffering, as were they. They were not feeling blessed by God. In fact, they were going as far as to blame God that in their certain and current conditions, He was causing them to fall into temptations and even into sin. They were calling out and blaming God. They were not being quick to hear, and they were not being slow to speak, which can only lead to them not being slow to anger. The receptive heart, prepared to listen, will control the emotions and be slow to anger. James is using God's word to confront the brethren. How do you think they are doing? How are they handling being admonished at how they are responding to God's word? How are they bearing up under the weight and confrontation of God's word? They are angry and are not lining up under God's word. They are struggling with being in submission. R. Kent Hughes says, an angry spirit is never a listening, teachable spirit. John Calvin, speaking of his own conversion, says, God, by a sudden conversion, subdued and brought my mind to a teachable frame. A teachable heart will be one that has stopped fighting angrily against God to find its place in submission unto God. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. In Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. The brethren were not being slow to anger. They were showing forth the results of pride, impatience, bitterness, impulsiveness, and sinfulness. So James adds in verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. What were these believers witness? What were they exhibiting in their life and in their response to God? For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Produce means to accomplish or achieve. For the anger of man does not accomplish or bring forth the righteousness of God. Man's anger over God's word does not bring about and cannot bring about a righteous life. The brethren may have thought they were living a righteous life, or they may have wanted to live a righteous life, but their anger would keep them from it. James is pointing out that the anger of man will always be in stark contrast to God's righteousness. If anger characterizes your life, then it will not result in righteousness characterizing your life. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, that you might show forth the righteousness of God. We must be careful not to excuse our anger as righteous anger. For the word says, be angry and sin not. Yes, but that's a whole different teaching. This is not dealing with, James is not dealing with a sin that is unto righteousness. The catalyst for 99% of all anger will be found in sin. Paul warns that unchecked anger gives the devil a foothold in your life. Do not stop with your convictions. Do not stop speaking against deception that misleads people into thinking they're going to heaven when they're actually bound for hell. It's okay to say the hard things, but say them kindly. Always speak the truth, but speak it in love. And as you bring the truth of God's word to bear upon them, do so with grace. So are the believers just having a few bad days of bad communication? Is it a matter of them just cleaning up their listening skills, their speaking skills, and being more understanding? The answer would be no. There is a reason that they are not counting their trials as joy. Why the work of steadfastness is not having its full effect in them. There is a reason that they are lacking wisdom and not seeking it, that their faith is weak, and that they are overwhelmed with doubts. There is a reason that they are struggling with their material losses. There is a reason that they seek to blame God for their temptations. And there is a reason that they are not quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When it comes to how they are acting and reacting to God's word of truth, that word that they are to receive and follow with all meekness, there is a reason. Verse 21a, therefore put away all filthiness and all wickedness. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. We're going to read a little bit quickly here. I'm going to read 17 through 32. Ephesians 4. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the frutality of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that they may have something to share with anyone indeed. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And then Colossians 3. One through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The Ephesian brethren, the believers in Colossae, and the Jewish brethren that James is writing to were dealing with the same issues, that of still living with or returning far too often to their old ways, the ways of their old sinful nature. Paul instructs the Ephesians to, as they know and as they were taught the word of truth in Jesus, to put off the old self, the old nature, the former manner of life, and to put on the new self, the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And to the Colossians, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And he adds, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then says, put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. As James then writes to the Jewish believers, his beloved brethren, he echoes Paul's words. Read again, verse 21. Therefore, now we now know what James is referring to. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive, as Paul would say, put on, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Put off the old, put on the new. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23 says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That is that implanted word. Jesus says, James says, receive the word with meekness, with all humility. This is how James wants the believers to respond to God's word. How they will put off the old nature and live in the new nature by being quick to listen to God's word, by being attentive to it and to obey it. For the implanted word is able to save your souls. Save means to deliver, to protect, to heal, and to preserve. This is not James, or this is James is not speaking of their being born again. These are believers he writes to and is reminding them that it is God's word alone that delivers them daily from the ways of the world. To put off the new and live daily as the new, put off the old and live daily as the new man, we must daily be in and be living in God's word. We must be listening to God's word speaking to us. We must be hearers of the truth of his word. But we cannot be just hearers. If we went back and looked at the screen at verse 22, but be doers of his word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And we'll pick up here next week. So how are we doing? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, and from it, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart, watch over it, guard it with all diligence. To put off the old and live in the new requires a heart check. It requires self-examination. How are we responding to God's word? Are we listening, obeying, and following? Or does it seem more like we're fighting and struggling? Not dealing well with our trials, with our struggles, kicking against the goad, resisting. How are we bearing up? We need to stop resisting and we need to start repenting, to listen, speak, and act as one who is living with the implanted word of God dwelling in their heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you bring these words to us in